Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heart of the Father's Open Doors podcast. I'm Rachel Lozano, and I will be your host today. And if you haven't been keeping up with Heart of the Father news, I want to fill you in on some of the things that are going on. On April 29th, Matt is going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, doing an Unbound event. And then at the very beginning of May, Neil and Janet are heading to Australia, which is so amazing. Unbound is going to be on a new continent, and we're just so excited. So tune in, check out our social media, our newsletters to see pictures and hear all about what the Lord is doing in Australia. And today, I am very excited to welcome Priscilla Strapp to our podcast. Priscilla wears many hats. She is a teacher, a writer, a mom, a wife, head of Sophia Academy in Philadelphia, and one of the leaders of the Unbound team at New Life Church. And she's also my friend. Pris and I met at the Christian community House of God's Light ages ago, it feels like, and spent many years in a home group together, sharing life, food, and a deeper pursuit of Jesus. I love any time I get to spend with Pris because she is direct, honest, open, and seeks to pursue all the Lord has in everything she does. So welcome, Pris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Rachel?
Good. It's fun to be sitting across from you
and
doing this podcast. So let's start off with you sharing a little bit about yourself so everyone listening can get to know you a little better.
Well, as you mentioned, I live in Philadelphia with my husband. We have raised five children there. The last two of whom were adopted by us, and it has been an exciting adventure for us. And I've spent my entire career mostly as a teacher. But I would say the most important thing about me probably is that I am the daughter of missionaries to Japan. Mm. So I grew up in a foreign country, which I loved. And I grew up in a culture that was very different from American culture. And it sort of informs the way I view life. It informs the way I react to various things. And I think that the training I got as a young person in my own home has made me someone who has really sought to follow God and always get more, mm-hmm. always looking for more.
And I can definitely attest to that. I feel like having known you over the years and being in home group, I always feel like you had like a new book for us to read, or you were excited about something new, and then you want to share it with everyone, which gets us excited. And you just have this way about you that helps other people to get excited about what the Lord is doing or the new thing that you've discovered. So I always appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you.
And we are going to get to talk a little bit about Japan in a little bit. And I think it'll be great for all of you listening to just have that, hear Pris's perspective, because she can bring a really different perspective than others can, and just the unique culture of Japan and what that means to be a Christian there, to be a missionary there. And then Pris is going to share what it meant to bring Unbound there. So we got to know a little bit about you and your background, but now you're here and you're leading an Unbound team at your church. So how did you first get connected to Unbound?
Well, I have to go back in time to explain that. Well, you should know that I've always been a very competent, strong, intelligent woman.
I agree with that.
Girl and woman, and able to handle whatever life threw at me, you know, moving through life very easily. Although I did seem to attract chaos. And when I was in my young 20s, my mother said to me once, "Your life just seems to go from one crisis to the next." And I said, "You're right. It does. I wonder why that is." And at the time, of course, I just thought it was strange that life, this entity would throw things at me. And I had no idea that I might have some role to play in moving from one crisis to the next. Fast forward 25 years, and I began to be very aware that I had a problem with stress. And there were all sorts of different things that would make me stressed. Being late is one of them. You know, meeting expectations, usually my own, was another. Being afraid that I would miss the train or the plane or the boat, something like that, I was not able to handle it. And it became increasingly a problem for me, to the extent that I once got a speeding ticket after I had said to myself numerous times, slow down, slow down. It doesn't matter that you're late. Slow down, slow down. But I wasn't able to. And getting the speeding ticket made me realize I really have a serious problem here. So I began to look for some kind of help. And the last thing that I found happened to be an Unbound conference. I was in my counselor's office and there was a brochure on the table. And I looked at it and I said, I think I'll go to this. By that time, the stress had become, you know, such a problem that I was regularly having panic attacks. And so I said, I think I'll go to this. And my counselor said, great idea. If you do, make sure that you go up for prayer whenever they break from the talk. He told me they were going to always give an opportunity for prayer. Just make sure you go up every single time. Being a dutiful sort of person, I obeyed. Every single time I made a beeline for the same people.
Smart.
The interesting thing is that one very important thing that happened, because I was always going back to the same people, they began to get excited when I would come back because they could see things start to happen. And I would walk up to them and I would see the man, it was a man and a woman, I would see the man start bouncing up and down on his tippy toes. And both the man and the woman had this huge smile on their faces as like through the conference, as they just gradually led me through. And of course, it was all new to me, this idea that I could, you know, get free from this stress. And even the concept of deliverance was all new to me. I was captured by it. I was captured particularly by Neil saying, deliverance is a good word. And I was captured by his phrase, deliverance is no more about the devil than the Exodus is about Pharaoh.
It's such a good line.
Yes, it is. So I had so much healing at that time. And the 6 months or so before I went to the conference, I had quit going to my church because I just felt that I needed triage and I was getting tea and crumpets or something like that.
Right.
So on the second day of the conference, as I was preparing to come back, I heard God's voice speak in my head. And he said, it's time now for you to go back to your church and ask your elders to minister to you.
Wow, that's powerful.
Okay. And I went back the very next Sunday. Now, it took me another couple months before I finally got the ministry of the elders. But that all was happening at that Unbound conference.
Right.
So that was my first experience. Was there another part to your question?
No. Well, I feel like I've probably heard this story, but it feels new to me again. Like, I love hearing people's stories of the first time they really were set free or knew that that was even a possibility,
right,
that you didn't have to stay there. You didn't have to stay in your anxiety and your panic attack. So no, you answered my question.
Great.
Beautifully.
Great. Can I say something about what happened to be the very day or the week after the conference?
Yeah.
I would love to share this because this is how we brought it into the church. I wouldn't say the very next day, it wasn't Sunday, but it was the week after that. I was in church and a woman who sat behind me came up at the end of church and she said, would you pray with me? And I said, okay. And I had just been to an Unbound conference. So I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, I have this problem or that problem. And since I was now well-trained at this conference, I said, well, when did this start? And I just asked her a few questions. And then I said, would you be willing to renounce this or that or the other? And she said, okay. And so we did. And that little short time of prayer with someone who had never even heard of Unbound was so powerful to her that she came back to me and asked, you know, where did you get this from and what is it? And we decided at that very point that we would read the book together and study it. She wanted to do that. And it ended up not being that woman and me. It ended up being eight women who read the book together, studied it carefully. We got through weeks of doing it, practicing, praying with each other as we're working through the book. So much healing was going on and so much freedom was coming. And then we bought the tapes of the conference and we watched them. Can I keep going?
Yeah, keep going. This is great. I mean, I love it. Just it feels so natural and organic. And it's like the dream of what how you want it to happen in a church where it's not you needing to sell it to somebody else.
Right.
You are just, you're doing it. You prayed for her. She experienced the Lord setting her free. And then you want to share that with other people. Like that's exactly the way it should be.
Right. Which is the way evangelism happens. That's the way the gospel spreads, right? You always hear people say, it's just one starving person saying to another, this is where I found bread or something like that. And that's how it was for us.
Mm-hmm.
So these eight women, we were so excited that they, not I, but they wanted to bring it to the rest of the church. And we had a women's retreat coming up. So we thought, okay, we'll buy the books and we'll offer prayer, which we did. And it was a good time and people were very blessed.
That's awesome.
But there were some problems that rose after that.
Yeah. Do you want to share? Yeah. Do you want to share about the problems? Because I mean, it's not always an easy road. And sometimes I feel like when I've talked to people, it's not an easy road right from the beginning. You know, there's the pastor doesn't want Unbound in the church or people aren't concerned or what is this? But then sometimes it starts off really powerfully for you, like it did for you. But down the road, you might encounter opposition. I think it's good for people to hear that it's not always going to be easy. And that doesn't mean it's not supposed to happen. And, you know, if the Lord's calling you forward, then you keep pressing in. So yes, share.
Well, my church, I should say, first of all, we were a Presbyterian church belonging to what's known as the PCA denomination. It's a conservative denomination. And at that retreat, there was a leader at the retreat who was, I think, taken aback by it and maybe a little frightened or something like that. And so she went back to the leaders of the church and mentioned that we had done this and complained. And so the leaders of the church talked to us and said, well, you know, we don't think this is a good thing. Various members of our little study group wrote to the leaders and explained step by step, you know, this is why it's good. They sent two of the elders to our meeting to just talk to us, and we explained it and talked to them. And there was too much fear, I think.
Mm.
So it ended up being that they said to us, you know, okay, we trust you eight women, but we need to protect the other people, you know, anybody else in the church who might not be as strong a Christian as you eight are. So they said, so we don't want you to make any more public announcements or talk about it. No advertising, any Unbound conferences or anything like that. But they said, you can talk individually, one-on-one, if you want to.
Right.
So at that point, we were silenced publicly. But as years go by, there's always a conference, and then there's a conference again every spring and every fall. And so every spring and every fall, I would go around to just various people. I would ask God, who needs to go to an Unbound conference? And I would just look around Fellowship Hall during the talking time. And I would go up to this person and that person continually and invite them to come. And over the years, many, many people from our church began to come to Unbound conferences. And I would always invite the pastors too, but they, you know, usually, I don't need that. You know, they just said, oh, thanks. The end. They weren't showing up. So that was good. Now, I also had a role of teaching women's Bible study at my church and teaching adult Sunday school and just occasionally talking. And didn't matter what the topic was, everything relates back to the gospel, which basically Unbound is just the gospel.
Unbound is the gospel.
And so whatever I was teaching, anything somehow the principles, the underlying principles of Unbound worked in perfectly, and I was able to do that. And again, over the years, as some people were going to conferences, others who never went started talking about renouncing. It became a very common thing to hear around our church.
Yep.
And the
it does. It becomes part of the vernacular, right?
Yes,
and
it
how
does.
You talk. I think about how I talk to someone who knows Unbound, and it's like, oh, I need to renounce that.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
I talk, you know, like if I'm struggling with something, it does. It becomes right. a part of your language.
Right. So eventually, the thing that changed in our church the most was that the daughter of one of the pastors came for Unbound Ministry privately to me. And she went home such a changed person that her father said, I think I need to go to that conference. And he did. And the rest is history.
It is. I know. Can I share that? Like this, I think the same
yes.
pastor
yes.
then came to one of, I don't know, it was like one of our first leadership conferences. It wasn't the first one, maybe the second one, and shared his testimony up in front of everyone of how the Lord set him free through the Unbound model. And it was so powerful. I remember listening to him share, and he was just so vulnerable and honest in a way that I think is probably really hard for a pastor
right.
to be, because you always have to be the leader. And it was really special that he was able to do that and share that up front. Yeah, it was really great.
Right.
Yeah. So yep. that, who knew, Press? Did you, you know, who knew when you went to your first Unbound conference?
Right.
What was
Nobody
going
would have known.
To happen? And now you have an Unbound team at New
right.
Life. So going from, we're not going to talk about this publicly, to having an Unbound team and ministering.
And we actually had a conference at
yes,
our church.
Yes, you did.
Yes,
you did. Did you have one, did you even have two conferences?
We were scheduled to have another.
Oh, and then the pandemic.
Came.
I was like, I feel
yes.
like you had two. Yes, I know. You've
right.
had. Yeah, so my, how things can change. So if you're out there and feeling discouraged, hopefully that hearing Pris's testimony, know that you never know how the Lord is going to work. And the most powerful advertisement, I guess you would say, for Unbound is a changed life. And so someone else's testimony
Absolutely.
Is really what is going to help people see that the Lord wants to set people free.
Right.
And that Unbound is an amazing model to do that.
We have another study group that's just starting up. We have had our first meeting, and we're just starting up. And I asked, why are you here? And one of the women said, I'm here because that person who goes to the women's Bible study in the morning said she came for Unbound prayer and talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
And so she said, and I feel stuck. And so that's why I'm here. So
that's awesome.
It just keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I always say that to people who might call me and want prayer for someone in their life, not for themselves, but for somebody else. They want an Unbound ministry session. And so when someone calls me and they want an Unbound session for someone they care about or someone they love, if they haven't had one first, I always say, why don't you come for an Unbound session? But then if you have, like, the most powerful way to get somebody that you think needs help is to share your story. And probably one of the worst ways to do it is to say, you need this, right?
Right.
I see right. that you have a lot of issues. You should go get ministry.
Right. Right.
Not usually a great way to do it. Okay, so all these things are happening in your church. And we mentioned at the beginning of this interview, you grew up in Japan, this connection to Japan. And I think a lot of your hearts, you have a heart for Japan. Having grown up there, you love the people of Japan. You love the country. How then did you get to the point where you were traveling to Japan and bringing Unbound to Japan? How did that happen?
That is an excellent question.
Thank you.
And you're right. When I was first introduced to Unbound, one of the first things I thought was how important this would be for Japanese Christians. And one reason I think that is Japan is a beautiful country, but there is so much darkness. The influence of demonic influence that comes from Shintoism and even their form of Buddhism is just really powerful. And so that's one reason I thought that. But I certainly didn't plan to go. I used to talk to Neil about it. Neil, you should go to Japan. Neil, you should go to Japan. It had been actually 25 years since I had been in Japan.
Wow.
And it's expensive to go to Japan. And you know, we didn't have the money to go running off. So we just never got there. One Sunday in late 2016, very near the end of the year, a woman stood up and made an announcement. She was on the missions committee at the church, and she said, "We are calling for a team of people who would be willing to go to Japan to encourage our missionaries who were in the northern city, Sendai, which is the city that was hit primarily by the tsunami in 2013, was it? Something like that. And they were discouraged. Japan is a very, very difficult place to be a missionary. The Catholic missionaries were there first in the 1600s, and then they were kicked out, and everybody was killed and persecuted, and some Christians were crucified, like 25 of them at once in the city of Nagasaki. And then Japan completely closed down and shut its doors. We do not want any of this Christianity stuff around. And for 200 years, Japan was closed. When Japan opened up in the 1800s, because America sailed over there and forced them to, Protestant missionaries came in first back in, and then Catholic missionaries too. But so that's been how long? It's been 150-some, I don't know how long it is, from like 1860-something to now, right?
Right.
Long, long time. People preaching the gospel over and over again. And what we say in Japan is that as many people who come through the front door of the church go out the back door. So the actual percentage of Japanese who become Christians and stay Christians just never changes. Total Christian population of Japan is probably 1% of the population, never changes.
So it's a lonely place to be a Christian,
yes,
too.
And of that 1%, about half of those are Protestants and half of those are Catholics. And they don't really talk well to each other, right? So it is a lonely place to be a Christian, and a difficult place, and a place where you can believe and you can come to church and you can want this with all of your heart, but there's so much pressure, family pressure to, you know, be the good son or daughter and, you know, pay attention to your ancestors and, you know, take care of the God shelf and things like that. So that's where my heart was. I never thought I could go there. That's why the missionary in our church was so discouraged. That's why they made a call to go and encourage them.
Right.
I did not think that I would have a chance to go, so I wasn't going to volunteer. But my husband, who is kind of a stay-at-home kind of person, doesn't really like to travel much, leaned over to me and said, "I think we should go."
Love it.
And
go, Tim.
I said, "Really?" Yeah. And he always like wonders, should we really do this? Should we not do this? Are we praying enough about it? Are we not praying enough about it? So I always sit back and kind of let him work it out with God. But God just kept directing our path so that we were on the team going to Japan simply to encourage these missionaries in this northern town where it was particularly difficult. Maybe 3 weeks before we were supposed to leave. And we'd been planning this trip for 6 months. Maybe 3 weeks before we were supposed to leave, I get an email from a Japanese pastor in Tokyo saying, "We have people in our town who have heard of Unbound, and they want to know, do you know anything about it?" Do I? Why, yes.
I dropped in your lap there.
And then the pastor said, when I responded that way, he said, "Well, they're wondering if you could do some kind of a seminar and teach them more about how to use the Unbound prayer model." This is 2 or 3 weeks before we're supposed to go. Of course, we said yes. And the team consisted of my husband and I, the pastor of our church who had come to the Unbound conference because of his daughter, and then one other woman who had no experience with Unbound. But in the 2 weeks, we pulled together an entire seminar. We had it advertised. On our end, we were coming up with the talks with help from Matt and with help from Janet. We got our talks all set for a one-day hurrah. And on their end, they were advertising it and getting people in. And we decided we would invite it to anybody who could speak English because we are not, you know, we couldn't give it in Japanese.
Right.
So there was a lot of opposition and a lot of pushback. After we got to Japan, suddenly we find out that one woman in the church that was hosting us said, "This is a terrible thing." She didn't like she thought it was heretical. They didn't like the whoever gave the foreword. And because of that, they didn't want the church to have anything to do with it. And so there were these emails flying back and forth. We were trying to explain why it wasn't heretical and why it was okay. And my father, who had been the missionary to Japan, was involved in these emails because he feels very strongly that Unbound is a wonderful thing and is needed all over the world. And this was his former church that he had started where we were going to go and hold this. Eventually, the pastor said, okay, you can come and give the conference. But he said to me, you're only getting in because of who your father is. Hmm. So we were very aware that we were standing on the shoulders of, you know,
what other your dad had done.
Yes, yeah. What my father had done. So we gave the conference. There were 50 people there. They came from 14 different countries.
Wow.
Yes. As far flung as New Zealand, Mongolia, Brazil, you know, U.S. and Canada.
How far they had advertised it.
These are all foreigners living in Japan.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
All of them, foreigners living in Japan, but they had come from all over.
Right,
and
14
different countries were represented there.
Okay.
They all happened to speak English.
Okay.
So that was our first conference, and it was utterly amazing. One of the things that so amazed us is the response. Mm. The Japanese people are very behind a wall. Their emotions are well checked. Their emotions are kept down. They are not an emotional people. And yet when they came for prayer, they did something I've never seen Japanese do before. They would burst into tears as they shared their story. And person after person told us, I've never told anybody this ever, ever, ever.
Wow.
What we noticed, it didn't matter if they were male or female, the absolute deepest wound in the Japanese heart was the wound of fatherlessness. And in story after story, it was an angry father, an absent father, an abusive father, an adulterous father. It was really a problem with fathers for everybody.
Right.
That was really an exciting time. And the response was from everybody, oh, this is so needed.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
To me, to be able to share your story for the first time, maybe really cry with somebody else other than by yourself for the first time.
Right. Now, we do admit that in that first conference, there were a lot of, as I said, people from all these different countries.
Right.
So they weren't all Japanese. The thing that struck us most, though, was when the Japanese would come. So that was the first time. And we went back the next year, and we went back the year after that. Now, the second year, my pastor couldn't come again, so I asked Joe and Becky Doherty to come.
Yeah, I was like, when did Joe and Becky go?
Yes, they were on the team the second year.
Okay.
And so the interesting thing the second year was we decided to say, okay, we're not going to just do it in English now. We're going to open it up. And we arranged to have it simultaneously translated.
Okay.
So we sent our talks ahead of time, and we had one woman in Japan who did almost all the work. She was amazing. But she arranged for a different person to take our different talks, and they would translate them all into Japanese. Then while we were speaking them in English, they were back in the sound booth putting it through headphones to the Japanese speakers.
Wow.
So all in Japanese. Now, you, as a speaker, you learn it takes a lot longer to say something in Japanese than it does in English.
I've heard Neil and Matt say that when they go to different countries, you definitely have to plan for a longer
time. So you have
time.
To slow way down and have long pauses. But so that was one major difference. We did that. And the other major difference, this was a really great story. One of the women who'd been to the first conference was coming again. She really wanted us to meet. She was a member of this Protestant evangelical church, but she belonged to she was meeting with a Catholic charismatic group of women for prayer and Bible study. And she wanted us to meet the leader of that group. So we agreed. At the last minute, the woman we knew couldn't come. So the leader came But she did come by herself. Here's this Catholic charismatic older woman, Japanese woman. She did come by herself. She brought a man along with her. The man is the leader of the entire Catholic charismatics in the entire country of Japan.
Wow.
And he has interaction with them all the time and mailing lists with them all the time. He came and we met them for lunch and we just simply told them about Unbound. And he said, should I come to this conference? And Joe Dougherty said, yes, you should. So what was different about that conference is that we had both the Catholics and the Protestants in the same meeting. Now, remember I said that in Japan, that doesn't happen. They don't talk to each other. They even have different vocabulary for different things. Like they, Jesus has
kind
a
of
different
like, kind
name.
Oh, well, you know? That's very different vocabulary. I'm like, but it's a little bit like that here in America too, in terms of vocabulary.
Yeah.
But I remember you sharing that. And I love that there was so much division, but then here they are in the same place.
Yes.
At the same conference.
Yes. Yes. So that was conference number two. And, the other thing that we did new for conference two is we had a day of training ahead of time for a ministry team. We went in cold the first conference and just acted as the ministry team ourselves. And the second one, we had some people who had been there before and wanted to be on the prayer teams.
That's
so
amazing.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then
good.
The next year we went back and it was something new again. We added not just the training at the beginning, but we added a special day afterwards for people who wanted to start an Unbound ministry in their own churches.
Mm.
And again, we had the Protestants and the Catholics together, and we talked to them a lot that day about working together and how they could work together and be on teams together while we were talking, giving them training, not just how to pray, but how to actually have a ministry in their team. And the other big thing for us on the third trip was there was a pastor, Protestant pastor from a southern city who had come up for the conference and got so much healing. He wanted to bring it to his city. So the Japanese woman who was our worker and I went down to that city at the end of the trip.
So not even planned. You just went last minute.
We went down to that city and we met up with as many pastors as we could meet. And we made arrangements to meet this missionary and that missionary, trying to tell them about Unbound to figure out if there's some way to get into that southern city.
Right.
That was our plan. And then, of course, the pandemic.
Well, you had a good run. And
yes.
You know that it is the Lord and how he was working and orchestrating it. That, yes, advertisement. Yes, you put so much work into being there and making that happen. But then there has to be an openness to how is the Holy Spirit going to move? You know, we have our structure, but then how is he going to move and how do we need to let go and let
right.
him lead us within that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the Protestants had first translated the book and then the Catholics have now translated it also. So it's sort of got various forms of the Unbound book translated. So I really think that God will continue to work in Japan and continue to bring healing.
I think so too, because he wants to work and he loves each one of those people in Japan and he wants to see them set free. So it'd be awesome to continue to hear. I'm sure we'll hear testimonies in the years to come.
Yes.
Because of your work there, prayers for that country, other people's prayers for that country. You know that there's going to be fruit and we don't necessarily really know what's going on right now, but there will be fruit in the future for sure. Chris, I feel like you're just so natural and you're such a good storyteller. So I feel like it's awesome. So I hope all of you are just encouraged by this and what the Lord can do and continues to do and behind the scenes. And all of a sudden he pops up and you can see what's been happening all this time. It's so amazing. So thank you so much for joining me today, Pris. It was a delight.
You're welcome.
Thank you to all of you listening for joining us today. I hope you were blessed by Pris's story. If you're enjoying our podcast or Unbound Ministry has had an impact in your life, please consider partnering with us by becoming a donor. We are a nonprofit organization, so donations like yours allow us to continue doing this work of bringing the message of freedom in Christ to others. May the Lord bless you today. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.